Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
Welcome to the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. I'm your host, Charlie Romeliotis, as the Blackhawks are shut out by the LA Kings 6-0 in the rematch game after the Blackhawks took the first one on Thursday night at Crypto.com Arena. And let's head right back to LA and bring in Steve Conroy to help us break down this game. Steve, I thought the Hawks played a pretty solid first period. Nothing to show for it, but it was the second period on where LA really tilted the ice in their favor.
Yeah, we kind of touched on that just in our post-game comments early. You know, kind of a miscommunication, a mistake between Oliver and Bertuzzi. I think prior to that, too, Levchinov had an opportunity at the offensive blue line to do something with a puck, kind of a lazy play. And, you know, the LA Kings, they'll ram it down your throat. And one of the keys of the game for me before we started was expect a royal performance from the Kings, and I think that's what we saw. They were mad. They were upset after being embarrassed on home ice a couple of nights ago, Thursday night, here at Crypto.com Arena by these Blackhawks. And you knew there were going to be a strong pushback. Now, that being said, I thought it was a pretty good period for the Blackhawks, period number one. But then after that, it was the self-inflicted mistakes, the self-inflicted wounds that really caused them. And, you know, I pointed to that miscommunication, and that's all it took. The dam kind of broke for the LA Kings. They'd never scored more than three goals on home ice, and they doubled that. They ended up with six on this night.
The Hawks had three power play opportunities in the first and second periods, and I feel like if they score on any one of those three, it really changes the complexion of the game. Now, I know you can probably say that in any game. If you score here, it probably changes the game, but in this game specifically, where it's so... LA just plays such a tight checking style where it's really hard to break their neutral zone forecheck. Maybe winning the special teams battle like they did on Thursday on the penalty kill side feels like they could have used one on the power play tonight.
Yeah, not only did the power play, I don't think they had any shots on that first power play. So it takes a little bit of momentum away from you, and it gives the other team maybe a little bit of juice too. And I agree, when your power play, even if it doesn't score, if you're getting some looks, your best players are on the ice, and now those guys start to feel good. It's like, hey, I had a shot. Hey, you know, I hit a post or whatever it is, and you feel positive about it. They had nothing positive to feel good about because they went out there, didn't get any shots, and in fact, if anything, it was the LA Kings who had some chances shorthanded. And I know in period number two, as John Weidemann mentioned, maybe the save of the half year by Spencer Knight on Warren Fogle. After that pass by Quentin Byfield, it was a 2-0 break, and he absolutely stoned them. So you don't like to give up shorthanded chances, and that's exactly what they did. And if anything, I think the LA Kings had the better looks when the Blackhawks had the extra man.
The Blackhawks had only three high-danger chances in all situations, which is their fewest in a game this season. Their previous low was four, which was October 28th against Ottawa. What is it about LA defensively that makes it so hard? I mean, they really feels like they just wear you down defensively, but they're so hard to generate offense.
Well, you know, let's give them a little bit of credit. They've got 33 points now. They're third place in the Pacific Division, and believe it or not, they're only 2 points behind the Anaheim Ducks, and they both played the same amount of games. So they're a good team. What they do technically is they protect the house. There's five guys, and they're always in front of the net, you know, literally in that house area, in the prime scoring areas. But then outside their blue line, they really force you to the outside, and they literally bring two forwards back. It's a one-guy forecheck. All four guys literally stacked across the blue line, literally between the two offside faceoff dots. So if you're going to make the line, you've got to go to the outside, and they just keep pushing you to the outside. And I noticed it tonight, especially in the third period. You know, the boards are your friend, and that's one thing I always used to talk about as a defenseman with my defense partner. Let's use the boards. You know, they can help you. You steer a guy off into the boards, and it's like another player there who's kind of, you know, giving you a hit. And that's what they do so well. They veer you off into the boards. They force it to the outside. And that's how they kill play. And the second guy is very supportive. And he's there to jump on loose pucks. He's there to jump on errant passes. And they didn't have that luck a couple of nights ago because of the speed of the Blackhawks. And for whatever reason, that speed, aside from the first period, was kind of non-existent from the Blackhawks. And I thought, you know, L.A. had an easier night of it.
I feel bad for Spencer Knight in this game because I thought he played really well in the first couple periods, especially that 2-on-0 save that came in the second on Warren Fogle. When things got away in the third period, that's probably a game where the Hawks probably would put in Arvid Soderblom to kind of relieve Spencer so he don't have to wear it. But with a game tomorrow, obviously Arvid is going to be starting tomorrow. So that was a difficult situation for the Hawks. I'm sure Jeff kind of feels bad about that. Like Spencer just had to play it out because Arvid needed to be fresh for tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, Jeff Blashill knows as well as anyone because he's a former goaltender himself. And so let's say you throw Arvid in there and he's cold and let's say he gets injured. Well, now you've got to play Spencer Knight tomorrow and he's
right.
Just played three games in four nights, which wouldn't be fair to him either. So I don't think Spencer Knight's going to be upset about it. You know, the six goals, I think that ties a season high for him in goals against. I believe he was in net for that Winnipeg game where they lost 6-3 and he allowed six goals. So, you know, he's very even keel about it. Whether he's winning or he's losing, you know, he's going to be the same way. So he won't be upset about it. He realizes the team has an important game tomorrow and that Soderblom, it'll help if he's rested and fresh and ready to go. And he should be. And Arvid Soderblom, I think he's played very well this year, but you look at his last couple of starts, they haven't been really great. In fact, he's had two losses in his last two starts, and one of them was nine goals in Buffalo he allowed, and that was the second game of a back-to-back. And then more recently at home against the Nashville Predators, he allowed four goals in that loss. That certainly wasn't his fault. But, you know, those two last losses, I'm sure, are still fresh in his mind, although they were, you know, almost 3 weeks ago now when you combine those two games. He's going to want to come out and establish himself early and make a statement. And, you know, he did that in Detroit when he stopped 45 of 46 shots against the Detroit Red Wings at the end of a grueling road trip. He was responsible almost single-handedly for that win. So tomorrow they're going to lean on him heavily because Anaheim's going to be rested. They played Friday. They didn't do anything tonight. So I'm sure they're watching this game, and they can't wait to get another crack at the Blackhawks, who kind of embarrassed them back at the United Center when they were up 3-0 and they ended up losing the game, what was it, 5-3?
Yeah, I heard you talking about it with John, but is this a game that you just throw away in the trash, move on to Sunday? I know it kind of that different feeling the Buffalo game earlier in the year where that game just got away from them from the first period and on. But in this game, things just went sideways late in the second, and then the Hawks were trying to play catch-up in the third. So do you just flush the tape and just shift your attention immediately to Sunday?
Yeah, I was going to say burn the tape. I think flush the tape is better. That's more appropriate.
I keep getting it wrong. I think I said it last game, too.
No,
I said,
okay.
Flush the, well, I don't even know what I said last game, but I know John was poking fun of me on the air, I think.
No, I say we flush the tape. It belongs in the toilet. Let's get rid of it. We never want to see it again. And I think that's what the coaching staff will tell you, too. It's like, you know, we know what you guys are capable of. We've seen you play, and we saw that game in Vegas, which I thought was a strong game. And then obviously the victory a couple of nights ago here, 2-1, that was, you know, one of their better games this year. So they know what the team's capable of. They didn't meet that expectation tonight, but you can just throw it away. There's nothing to be learned about this game except for you can't keep making the same mistakes. You can't shoot yourself in the foot. And I think that's what they did in that second period. They really shot themselves in the foot on a couple of those goals. And, you know, third period, the game had already gotten away from them.
All right, burn the tape, flush it down the toilet, throw it in the trash. I got all three of my, I got it in line now. Perfect. All right, last one for you. Anaheim, obviously, tomorrow. Do you think there's going to be some carryover from last week's game? We know things got chippy between Connor Bedard and Mason McTavish. I imagine things might get a little chippy at the start. Do you sense that it could have some carryover effect tomorrow?
Oh, I think so. You know, Connor Bedard, after that, I believe it was the empty net goal, it wasn't just McTavish he was chirping, it was the bench he was chirping. So it goes beyond Mason McTavish. And obviously everyone knows that, you know, Leo Carlson was the second player taken behind Connor Bedard, and there's been comparisons for the last 3 years, and there'll be comparisons for the next 12 years between those two guys. And Leo Carlson's having a great year, but Connor Bedard is having a superhuman year. So we know Connor Bedard plays with fire. And he plays with emotion, and he plays with a lot of desire. And I think that's been the biggest difference in his game this year. And he wears his heart on his sleeve. So that came out. And like I said, I don't think it was directed at just Mason McTavish. There was a number of guys on that bench that he'd been talking to throughout the game. So that'll definitely be a storyline in this game. And, you know, to underscore it, wasn't one of Connor Bedard's better games this year. He was pretty quiet. He had some nice rushes. He had some nice moves. But overall, by his standards, it was a quiet game. So if we know anything about Connor Bedard, he doesn't like to have two duds in back-to-back games. So look for him to come with his best and finest tomorrow.
Well, you made a great observation on the broadcast how in the first game, L.A. matched Quinton Byfield up with Connor Bedard. But in this game, it was Philip Deneau's line. And Philip Deneau is one of the best shutdown centers in the entire NHL. Just look at some of the previous playoff performances against Edmonton and what he does to McDavid and Draisaitl. And I remember, he really shut down, I think it was when he was in Montreal, he shut down Austin Matthews in a playoff mm-hmm. series. He's just so good at that, and no surprise that he made Connor's life difficult in this game.
Yeah, and Deneau, too, was no goals tonight, but he was a +3 on the evening. So that's, you know, pretty impressive playing up against Connor Bedard. And they also decided to put Brant Clark out against that line, too. And Brant Clark, with two goals tonight, obviously did a real good job himself, too. So, yeah, Deneau, one of those guys. You know, he's not the prettiest player. He's not a great skater. But, boy, he can shut it down defensively with the best of them, and he really did that tonight.
Awesome. Steve, great stuff as always. Wrapping up a four-game road trip tomorrow, so safe travels back home tomorrow after the game. Hopefully it'll be a winner.
Yeah, I hope so, too. Thanks. And Charlie, great job as always.
Thank you. All right, that is the great Steve Conroy from Crypto.com Arena. The Blackhawks were routed by the LA Kings 6-0. We got some post-game locker room sound coming in, so we'll see what the Blackhawks players had to say on the other side of the break when the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio post-game show rolls on after this on 720 WGN.
Dumoulin left point. Kuzmenko, high slot with 10. Sends it down to the inboard to Philip Deneau. To Fogel, then to the high slot. Kuzmenko over to Fogel. One-time shot. Pad save made by Spencer Knight. And Darcy Kuemper in goal for the LA Kings. Stopped all 23 Blackhawk shots here this evening, helping the LA Kings to a 6-0 win over the Blackhawks. The Kings, with the win, win the season series as well. Two wins against one loss. The Kings avenge the loss from the other night.
Back on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio post-game show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. The Blackhawks shut out by the LA Kings 6-0 in the third and final meeting of the season already in December here. The Blackhawks won Thursday night's game in LA 2-1, but then they lost the earlier matchup at the United Center 3-1. Let's get to tonight's Ice Times, which are sponsored by Rogers & Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America for more than 115 years. Connor Bedard, no surprise, led the way in the ice time department for the Blackhawks. Of course, chasing that game in the third period, he got a lot of minutes in the final frame. He finished with 22 minutes and 7 seconds of ice time. Right behind him was Ryan Green at 21:27, which is a new career high. Now, the Blackhawks did not have Teuvo Teravainen in this game. He left Thursday night's game in the final minute of the game after getting hit in the puck in the face. He lost a couple teeth, didn't play in this game. Teravainen was led all Blackhawks forwards on Thursday night in ice time. He was not available, so it was kind of put a little bit of a strain on some of the other forwards in this game, especially down 3-0 going into the third period. So those are the ice time leaders for the Blackhawks, the only two players that finished north of 20 minutes. Let's hear what alternate captain Jason Dickinson had to say after this game from LA.
What do you think went wrong today?
You know, there's a few areas that we obviously gave up. I felt like we let them get behind us a few too many times, and then we gave them some easy ice in our zone that led to a lot of extended zone time that just kind of creates a snowball effect that it's hard to mitigate.
It's a team that's still learning, obviously, and sometimes that gets lost because you've been playing well and you've been winning games, but this is a reminder that, you know, this is still a work in progress here.
Yeah, sure. I mean, every game in the NHL has got its own challenges, and it's a new day. So, Blash has been trying to preach to us that this is an everyday league. Young guys, obviously, it's much more pertinent to them that they learn that. But this is one of those days that it got away from us, and we get to come back tomorrow, thankfully, and learn right away to say, this didn't work. This is what we need to be better at. Go out and do it. Now we all get a chance to go and do it.
There haven't been many games like this year, too. I mean, it's only the third time all year you've been trailing by more than a goal after the second period. Can you look at that as a positive in the big picture?
Yeah, absolutely.
It used to happen a little more often.
Yep, yes, it did. I was a part of a few of those, so it's nicer that these are few and far between. I'd still obviously like to minimize them. I'd love to be in all these games, but these happen, and the best part about it is that they're a learning opportunity. As long as we take it for what it is, then there's some value in it.
Best part about it is also you got the first one, so that helps to get that out of the way, right?
Yeah, I mean, we can walk out of this road trip feeling good about what we did. It's not like we feel good about losing a game and still having a chance to be happy about the road trip. But at the end of the day, you walk out of a road trip with 2-1-1. You did a good job. That's what you're meant to do on the road. You go in there, sometimes they're gritty, sometimes they're ugly, and if you get the job done, nobody cares. Nobody asks questions. It's done.
He wasn't perfect tonight, but Levchinov had a couple of really nice exits out of the D zone. What have you seen from him kind of growing and getting more comfortable and predictable?
Yeah, well, one of the hardest things for a young player, and I can't exactly speak for a defenseman, but I can assume for a defenseman, is being confident going and picking up a puck and making the play. You got guys bearing down on you that can skate just as well as you. You've got guys that, fourth line, first line, it doesn't matter. They can all check the way that NHL players check. It's a little different than college. You can get a little bit of separation on a younger guy, a guy that doesn't know what he's doing. Guys miss their checks. It doesn't happen at this level. So for Artie, the big thing is to learn that he's got great legs, he's strong, and he can out-muscle guys. And the more he keeps doing that, the more he's going to learn where his spacing is to do those sorts of things. And like you said, he created a couple exits because he's strong on the puck. He uses his legs, and he trusts himself to get himself out of tight spots because he is a strong kid that can do those things.
I'm not going to see you here for the rest of the year, so I'm just curious about your thoughts on Connor's chances to meet an Olympic team and mm-hmm. what he's meant to you guys and how it's so different a year later.
Yeah, I think it goes without saying Connor is the most valuable player on our team, maybe next to Knighty. Knighty's been playing lights out for us, so Connor's put himself in the conversation. That's something he had to do. It wasn't given to him. It wasn't something that a lot of people were talking about. I think a lot of people had written him off on the Olympic team, to be fair, to be honest with you. But he has definitely raised his game. He's brought a level of intensity that I think he's turning heads and making them have to think about him as an option because, he's a hell of a player. And to have a guy like that sitting on the sidelines, it really sucks that we can't put two Canadian teams out there.
All right, that's Blackhawks forward Jason Dickinson talking about Connor Bedard there at the end. I believe Team Canada, the management group, will be meeting in the next couple days, and they're going to meet for 3 days in a row to really try to nail down a majority of the roster. And so it's going to be interesting to see where Connor Bedard falls in all of that. We know he's going to be part of the conversation. This was a game where he was relatively quiet-ish, but I don't think it was nothing that he did. It's just what LA does that's so well structurally, defensively, just not giving up the opponent's top players much space, especially when Philip Deneau is out there against the top guys like Connor Bedard. And so I expect Connor to be one of the best players on the ice tomorrow in Anaheim because usually you can't keep him down for too long. Let's go to the other alternate captain on this Blackhawks roster, Connor Murphy, and hear what he had to say about this 6-0 loss to LA.
But how do you explain the way that one kind of unraveled?
It was an off night from the start. We outplayed them the first period and a bit, and then and it went like completely opposite. So, unfortunate that we let it get to that point. And you just want to, when momentum goes the other way, you want to try to turn it quicker so it doesn't end up being a game like that.
Second periods have been a weakness earlier this year. It felt like the past four or five games, not as much, but maybe a little bit more of that tonight.
Yeah, I think it's definitely something. But still, to lead to six goals, that's worse than just having a bad second. So that is part of it. But we got to be better at turning momentum the other way and take more of what we did in the first period.
Is this a situation where it's good that you play tomorrow? You don't have to sit on this one for long?
Definitely, yeah. And I think we played well the first game against them and the game in Vegas. So kind of look at this road trip as a segment as a whole and know that if we win tomorrow night, then it kind of makes this road trip be a positive note.
I like how you guys, all shook Kopitar's hand after the game. Whose idea was that? Is that just a thing you know to do in a game?
Yeah, leadership group. We kind of know it's the last time we play in the season, unless obviously there's a playoff scenario. But just I saw on the board before the game, I think he tied Dustin Brown for most games against the Hawks. So it's cool to see the history that he has with against this organization. And obviously just a really respectable player as a person. And obviously the stuff he's done on the ice over his career is admirable. And the class as a leader he has. So it's easy to pay respect to those guys.
All right, that was Blackhawks defenseman and alternate captain Connor Murphy. Yeah, very classy gesture by the Blackhawks to stay out there and shake the hand of Anze Kopitar. We saw the Washington Capitals do it the other night. I feel like that's becoming more of a tradition in the NHL lately, is when you know it's going to be someone's last year, kind of hang out there. And just no surprise that the NHL players want to rally and do that. Last thing before we go to a break, I just saw that the Blackhawks are now 6-5-3 on the road and at home. So they're very consistent, the home and road splits. Whereas LA, they are 9-2-4 on the road, a very, very good road team. They're 4-6-3 at home. So they just want one at home for the fourth time this season, which is the second fewest home wins in the Western Conference. So a rare home win for LA, but consistency across the board. If you're the Blackhawks, 6-5-3 now, both at the United Center and away from the United Center. And unfortunately for Chicago, they went into this game with a +7 goal differential, which was third in the entire Western Conference. But because they gave up, it was a 6-0 loss, they got bumped down to a +1 goal differential, which is now tied for eighth in the West. So just one game like that, where the Hawks go from among the league leaders in the Western Conference to middle of the pack-ish now in goal differential. But hopefully the Blackhawks can get back in the higher positives tomorrow against Anaheim. Got more to get to here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio post-game show, including the post-game presser from head coach Jeff Blashill, which we will air next, coming right up on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio post-game show. Hawks fall to the LA Kings 6-0 to wrap up a quick two-game series in LA. Hawks closing out a four-game road trip tomorrow in Anaheim. And let's go to Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill and see what he had to say after this loss to LA.
Everyday league, is this kind of game a reminder of that?
Yeah, and I think, you know, I mean, if you really look at the game, I actually thought we came out, played really good in the first, and, you know, but didn't get rewarded. You know, we had the 2-on-1 with Dono, had some other almost, like, probably close looks. I would give them credit, because as good as we were playing, they still didn't give up. You know, I think the chances were still only, like, 4-4 at the end. But I did think we were playing really well. You know, and stuff in-game happens. Momentum-wise, obviously, you give up three right away there in the second. Not right away, three over a short time period. That's hard to crawl back from. Then it got away from us in the third. So, we have a meeting tomorrow, learn from this game, and go try to win a hockey game tomorrow.
Second periods have been a problem earlier this year, not as much the past few weeks. Do you see anything related to that?
No, I mean, again, I didn't think I thought through parts of the second were fine. We give up a goal on a kind of nothing play. It's a 1-on-2. They enter the zone, then we turn it over. It's in our net. Then it's a PK. Boom, it's 2-0 right away. And then, unfortunately, at the end of the period, we get that one up. So, listen, you know, our seconds through the course of the season haven't been good enough. I don't think that's been a huge issue lately, but we just got to keep, you know, I'm more focused on the whole process, not just the one period.
This, you know, other than it's this in Buffalo, really, only games that like this. We used to see a lot of these games like that. Is it? Can you take that kind of solace that this is not happening very often? I mean, every team just has a bad night every now and then.
Yeah, I mean, this stuff happens. I will say this. This, compared to the Buffalo game, I think are two different animals, to be honest with you, because I thought we started and played really, really well, and then it just got away from us. With the Buffalo, from the drop of the puck, they were the better team, and we never had anything going that night. It's like, I think if we score early, it could be a different game. If we scored some, if we score on our power play, could be a different game. Because we were fine, and then momentum matters, and they got the momentum, and we just couldn't grab it back.
Those power plays seemed to lose a lot of momentum.
Yeah, they did. You know, their kill's done the best job in the league over the last 10 games of kind of denying entries, and they did an excellent job on us, and you know, so we got to do a better job in those areas. You know, we had a couple unforced errors on the power play. That's, you know, when we struggle, that seems to be our Achilles heel on the power plays. We kind of give pucks away, and then now it's hard to get back in the zone.
You moved Hardy up to the first pairing, and you did have a couple nice breakouts, even if it wasn't a perfect game. What went into that, and what did you see from him?
Yeah, we did it yesterday, and he played two days ago, the first game against LA, and he you know, just him and Vlas had played good together. You know, it kind of gives us a guy with Vlas on one pairing, a guy with Krebs on another, you know, a guy with Merv, like kind of some size on each pairing. You know, so we were hoping they had good chemistry. I thought they played pretty well the other night. I thought they had moments of good tonight. I already probably had an up and down game. He did some good stuff and did some things he's going to have to learn from. And that's kind of, you know, where I thought a number of our D were like that. And that's kind of what happens at times with our team. And it's a little bit, you know, it's a little bit to do certainly with the age. But, you know, the other side of it is they just got to keep learning. If I'm saying this 3 years from now, you know, we'll all be disappointed. So let's make sure we keep learning and from these types of mistakes.
Do you remind them that this is the last time they'll see Kopitar, or is that player-initiated?
Player-initiated. Yeah, player-initiated. Yep.
All right, that was Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill. I liked what he said there about the power play. It feels like, so the Hawks had three power plays in this game, and they all came in the first and second periods. They didn't get one in the third period when things had kind of already unraveled to that point. But the first power play for Chicago came with 4:16 left in the first when it was still a 0-0 game. Hawks had two shot attempts, but neither of them hit the net. And then the Hawks had two power plays in the second period with 10:57 left and then 8:51 left. And so they were essentially back-to-back power plays, basically like a four-minute power play. Hawks didn't generate a single shot on goal in any of the three power plays that they got. Now, in that four-minute power play, quote-unquote, LA was up 1-0. So if the Hawks end up scoring on either of those, they make it a 1-1 game, and it's just a totally different feel. But after that, LA goes and scores the next couple in the second period, and then going into the third, it kind of felt like the game was pretty much over because LA is just such a defensively stout and just tight-checking team that it felt like it was an insurmountable lead to overcome in that third period. And then, of course, that, you know, they score three in the third, and the game's already over. But something that I did talk about in the pregame show on Thursday night, it's been a theme over the last six or seven games lately, the Hawks giving up goals early in periods and late in periods lately. Now, they didn't do so on Thursday, which was great, but in the games before that, you know, check this out. Like on Sunday against Anaheim last week, the Hawks gave up two goals in the first 47 seconds against the Ducks. Then in Vegas, the Hawks give up a goal 27 seconds in, although I'm willing to excuse that one because it went off the skate of Wyatt Kaiser, that first one. But then in the second period against Vegas, the Hawks gave up a goal with 2:41 left in that second, which made it 2-2. They also gave up a goal in the third period with 2:28 left, which made it 3-3. So the Hawks were up 2-1 and 3-2. They give up late goals in the second and third periods in that Vegas game, lose in a shootout. Then on the Black Friday game against Nashville, the Hawks were up 1-0 through one. They give up a goal 1:46 into the second period and then another goal with 3:33 left to make it 3-2 Nashville. That ended up being a 4-3 loss for the Blackhawks. The game before that was Wednesday versus Minnesota. Blackhawks were up 2-0. They allow a goal late in the first with 14 seconds left to cut it to 2-1. And then in the second period, the Hawks allowed one with 2:17 left. Tie game 2-2. Hawks lose 4-3 in overtime. And then the game before that was the Colorado game. It was a 1-0 loss, and the lone goal came with 1:39 left in the second period. So that's an area that's been slipping a little bit for the Blackhawks. We kind of, last year for the Blackhawks, the theme was they were giving up goal really quick back to back. This year it's lately, the last six or seven games, The Hawks have been giving up goals early in periods and late in periods, and we saw that again tonight in the second period where the Hawks make it, that the Hawks gave one up on the penalty kick, upon the power play, LA power play, with 3:22 left, that made it 3-0 LA, and then with 52.5 seconds left in the second period, that made it 3-0. So hopefully that's an area that's a point of emphasis moving forward, and the Hawks are able to clean that up going into tomorrow against Anaheim. One more break, and then we're going to wrap up the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio post-game show after this on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio post-game show. Let's dive into a Blackhawks prospect update and check in on our next generation of players sponsored by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. I'm going to pivot here and not pick a prospect, but I will go to Rockford and give an update on Laurent Brossoit in his AHL conditioning stint. He had his first pro start last night since April 2024. And he had 27 saves on 31 shots for a save percentage of .871 in Rockford's 5-3 loss to the Colorado Eagles. I know the stats don't look great with the .871 save percentage, but it sounded like he actually played pretty well. And Rockford was kind of on their, had an off night. And so, good to see Brossoit return. Rockford did have another game tonight. It was Drew Commesso. And so Rockford's next game will be December 10th, December 12th, and December 13th. Those are the three games that fall in the conditioning stint window for Laurent Brossoit. So we'll see which, if he gets any of those three games moving forward, or how many of those three games. Time now for our next game preview, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Hawks are going to be back in action tomorrow, 7 o'clock start against the Anaheim Ducks, 5 o'clock local time in Anaheim. The last time these two teams met, of course, was last Sunday. Hawks overcame a 3-0 deficit to beat the Anaheim Ducks 5-3. I wonder if there's going to be any carryover between Connor Bedard and Mason McTavish. Stay tuned for that. Looking forward to that one tomorrow night. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Citgo. Score savings on every fill-up with Club Citgo. Download the app now to start saving. United Airlines, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, and Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. That'll do it for our broadcast tonight. Big thanks to our production crew of Jack Heinrich riding solo tonight, and our engineer, the great, our captain, Krista Flores. For John Weideman and Steve Conroy, who brought you the call from LA, I'm Charlie Romeliotis, signing off after a 6-0 loss to the Kings. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow night.